I shall go. Now, I'll speak this morning for a while on that subject, that one statement that David made concerning his baby, would live just a while and gone on to heaven where all babies go. It is utter folly. It is heresy. It is fallacy. It is deceit for anybody to say that a baby who died wouldn't go to heaven. To think that you've got to get to a fetus of a miscarriage and sprinkle it so it'll go to heaven is the utter height of false teaching and false doctrine. So David's little baby had gone on to heaven, and David said, he cannot return to me, but I shall go to him. I want to speak this morning on that one little statement. I shall go to him. And I hope this morning everybody who has loved ones or friends on the other side shall rejoice in that one blessed truth. I shall go to him. Father, bless the message this morning to our hearts, and bless the messenger, feeble and weak and frail, and heart often too cold, and mind often too slow, and body often too frail and imperfect. And I pray that you'd help this morning, that the Holy Spirit shall lift this speaker from himself, and that you'd speak to our hearts and help us to rejoice in the blessed truth that those with whom we have walked and whom we have loved and with whom we have shared the victories and defeats of life have gone on to glory. Help us rejoice that we shall see them. We shall go to them. Give us a rejoicing spirit this morning for that blessed truth. In Jesus' name, amen. A baby is sick in the king's palace. King David is so grief-stricken, he can neither eat nor sleep. He is dethroned not by an enemy. He is dethroned by grief. Soon, death forces its way into the palace door. It tiptoes to the crib. It bends over the pillow and puts its smothering hand over the lips of the little prince who lived just a few hours and blows into the prince's little face the frosty breath of death. Two little eyelids are gently closed. Two little hands are quietly folded across a little breast. Two little feet are at rest. Two little ears are made dumb. A little mouth is silent, and a little heart is sabbatical. The servants, realizing that the child has died, discuss how to tell the king. They're afraid to tell him, because when the child was sick, David would not even respond to their conversation. And as these servants ponder over what and how to tell King David about the death of his little prince, David overhears them and asks them, "Is the child dead?" And their answer, of course, is in the affirmative. David gets off the floor. He washes himself. He puts on some clean clothes. He goes to the house of God and worships God. And then he comes home and sits down at the table and eats a good meal. Now, how could David do this? How could he, who had refused to eat while the child was living, eat now that the child is gone? How could he, who had refused to put on clean clothes while the child was living, now suddenly put on clean clothes when the child's body is now becoming cold in death? What strength had he received? What sustained him to this extent? How could he eat now? How could he wash now? How could he go to worship God now? The child's little body is not yet cold in death. How could he eat and control himself? What is this power? David found this strength in one statement. I shall go to him. David said, I'm going where he is. He'll never come back here. He'll never live in this palace again. He'll never sleep in this crib again. But I shall go to him. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know any more encouraging words than those. I don't know a better bit of news than that. I shall go to him. Let these words be your comfort at the bedside. Let these words be your comfort at the coffin side. Let these words be your comfort at the grave side. Let these words be your comfort at the threshold that ushers you in to a lonely house. Let these words be your comfort as you sit alone at a table. Let these words be your comfort as you gaze at an unused crib. As you eat tasteless food at a loathsome table, let these words be your comfort. I shall go to him. Say it, widow. I shall go to him. Say it, mother. I shall go to him. Say it, orphan. I shall go to him. That's the comfort of a funeral service for the Colston. That's why we do not weep as those that have no hope. Oh, yes, we weep. Oh, yes, we mourn. We don't mourn like they mourn because we have hope. David said, I shall go to him. No wintry winds of death can extinguish that bright light of hope. No grave digger's shovel can cover that hope. I shall go to him. No hearse can carry that promise away. I shall go to him. Sing it, orphan. Tell mother I'll be there. In answer to her prayer, this message, blessed Savior, to her bear. Tell mother I'll be there. Heaven's joys with her to share. Oh, tell my darling mother I'll be there. Sing it, widow. I will meet you in the morning by the bright riverside. When all sorrow has faded and vanished away, I'll be standing at the portals when the gates open wide at the end of life's long, dreary day. Sing it, parent, who's laid to rest in babyland. Your affection and your little one. Sing it! There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare a dwelling place there. Let us not forget that the real, honest purpose of it all is that there is a heaven, and God is there, and our loved ones are there, and those that know Christ can say with David, I shall go to him. Sing it, lonely husband, sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he's prepared for us a place. Sing it, doubting soul, farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunlight. We'll understand it all by and by. Sing it, homeless one. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's golden shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Sing it, dear one, who has dwelt beneath the clouds. Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the sky. Oh, they tell me of a land far away. Oh, they tell me of a land where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Sing it, aged saint. I have heard of a land on a faraway strand. Is the beautiful home of the soul, built by Jesus on high, where we never shall die, in a land where we'll never grow old. Sing, prisoners of the ghetto, how beautiful heaven must be, sweet home of the happy and free, the haven of rest for the weary, how beautiful heaven must be. Sing it from your slum house. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never shall die. Sing it from the slum dweller. Oh, think of the home over there. I'm saying that that great hope of the Christian, that great hope of the saint, is wrapped up in these words. I shall go to him. When you've laid your husband to rest, you can say, I shall go to him. When that little baby's body is cold in death, you can say, I shall go to him. When your dad, who's provided for you for a lifetime, suddenly those hands and arms that have been used to provide for you, and suddenly those lips that have taught you are still in death, and those knees on which you used to ride the horses, and those hands that once tossed you in the air, now are folded gently across his breast. Take hope! I shall go to him. That's why David could eat. That's why David could worship. That's why David could put on new clothes. Why? He knew that those little lips are still, and those little feet will never walk, and those little hands will never pat his daddy's cheek. He knew. David knew he was saved. He knew there's a heaven. He knew his child was there. And David could say, he shall not return to me, but I shall go to him. Now, how could David be so sure of that? And how can we be sure? There's several things in the Bible that teach us that we can be sure that we'll go to heaven and see our loved ones and friends in heaven. Moses reminds us of that when he says in Genesis, and Abraham died and was gathered to his people. Later on he said, Isaac died and was gathered to his people. Later on he said, Jacob died and was gathered to his people. Now, who are Abraham's people? I can tell you who they are. His loved ones and friends that he loved. That's who they are. Abraham died, went to his family up in heaven. And Isaac died, went to his family up in heaven. And Jacob died, went to his family up in heaven. And Jack Hiles, when he dies, will go to his friends and loved ones up in heaven. Ha ha ha. Now don't fret for me if I drop dead while I'm preaching this sermon. You'll have to start your own car, and I won't have to start one this afternoon. But don't fret for me before you get to my body. I'll be playing tag with the angels. And so, I'm saying that if Abraham was taken to his own, his people, and if Isaac was taken to his people, and if Jacob was taken to his people, don't you think that we will be taken to our people? Oh, yes, and so David could say, I shall go to him. Our Lord tells us these words. He said, in that day many will come from the north, the east, the south, and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom. Now, who are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? The granddaddy and the daddy and the grandson. Three generations. Isaac, Jacob, Abraham, all together in the kingdom. Ah, that means that those of you, those of us who have loved ones in heaven, that means we'll be gathered to them one day. And they'll come the north, the east, the south, and the west, and gather together, and we'll live forever in the land that is fairer than day. And it'll never freeze there, and never get below zero there. And no football team but the Dallas Cowboys will be there. And you know why there's a hole in the Dallas Cowboys stadium up high, don't you, in the dome? So God can watch his favorite team. And But anyway, our Lord tells us that they saw their loved ones. One day, Peter, James, and John followed Jesus to Mount Tabor. The door of heaven swings open, and two citizens of the celestial stand before them. Immediately, the three recognized those with whom they're talking. Moses and Elijah were there. And Peter, James, and John knew Moses and Elijah. Now, how'd they know them? They'd never seen them. If these mortals, three mortals, could recognize someone they never saw, don't you think in our glorified bodies we'll recognize folks that we see? Ah, yes. Don't you tell me that my mother will never see little Hazel and Lorraine and know who they are. When Dr. John Rice's mother died, she saw a little baby in heaven, and as she went on to heaven, she called her baby's name. And I've seen so many folks as they died, went to heaven. Back in the days before folks died in hospitals, and before folks had all this dope to dope them up, folks used to be sort of aware when they died. And I can see that dear grandmother in East Texas dying, looking up to heaven and saying, there's that one, and there's that one, and there's that one, and there's that one. I heard of a place that's called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. A haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. Oh, don't fret, don't worry. If I could do one thing as your pastor, I want to bring heaven closer to you. I want death not to seem so bad. I want you to realize that heaven, our death, is simply the vestibule to heaven. And if these three mortals, I mean three mortals, Peter, James, and John, in their physical bodies, could recognize those in heaven. Don't you think those of us in our glorified bodies someday, when these hands will be like the hands of Jesus, and these eyes will be like the eyes of Jesus, and these ears and these lips will be like the ears and lips of Jesus, and these feet shall walk like the feet of Jesus, and these arms shall be able to be like the arms of Jesus? Don't you think that I can recognize the loved ones and friends that are there? Oh, yes, I can. Yes, I can. I am the rich man in hell. Looked up, and he said he saw Abraham and Lazarus. Now, how do you think he knew who Abraham was? Here's a guy down in hell. Looks up and says, well, there's old Abraham. Well, bless your little pea-picking heart. If a guy in hell can recognize Abraham, I bet you a guy in heaven can recognize Abraham. And so, I'm saying, he looked all the way from hell to heaven. He said, there's Abraham. He saw Lazarus in his bosom. And he said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus. And in his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. Why? Because those in hell recognize those in heaven. And will we have poorer eyesight than the fellow in hell did? Will those of us with glorified bodies have poorer eyesight than the fellow who had a body in hell while he was burning in hell and begging for mercy? Over and over again in the Bible, we're told that angels recognize each other. And if these angels, who are our servants, recognize each other, then don't you think we, their masters, will recognize each other? You think up in heaven, all the angels are going to say, hey, there's old Gabriel, and there's old Michael. Hello there, Gabriel and Michael. And look down to hell and say, hi, Lucifer. And don't you think that we, who are made, will be then a little higher than the angels, will recognize each other? Don't you go to that grave and look and say in your heart, I'll never see you again. If that one is in glory, ha, 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 ha. In the sweet sing it by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful. Don't you think when I get to heaven and I hear somebody praying over in the corner of heaven and saying, Jesus, I love you, I think I'll say, that's old Ford Porter, I'd know that voice anywhere. And I'll walk over and old Ford Porter be there still wearing his Jack Hyle suit that I bought him before he died. And don't you think I'll know who he is? Don't you think when I get to heaven I'll hear a clickety-click, clickety-plop, a clickety-plop, a clickety-plop. If that's where horses go, clickety-plop, clickety-plop. There's old Bill Rice riding one of the white stallions up in heaven. And he'll say, hello, neighbor, welcome, neighbor. And didn't think you'd make it here. And don't you think when I get to heaven, I'll look and I'll see a fella got his pocket full of Sword of the Lord envelopes and waiting like that. And I look over and I'll say, there's old John Rice. And Dr. Rice won't say, hello, Brother Jack. He'll say, hello, Brother Jack, because his eye problem will all be cured. Ah, there is a land that's fairer than they. That's what it's all about. That's why the buses run, at least if the leader has enough religion to keep them warm all night long. And that's what it's all about. And I mean, that's what the building is here for. That's what the high school and college and grade school are all about. That's what the buses are all about. That's what the church is all about. There's no place just to make folks sad, their soothe their feelings while they're on their way to a blah out yonder somewhere. No, sir! The biggest question we ask, the most important question we ask is this. Do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? That's what it's all about. Paul spoke of meeting his congregation and knowing them in heaven. Paul spoke about someday he'd meet those that he pastored and know them in heaven. Don't you think if Paul knew those he pastored in heaven, I'll know those I pastored? Don't you think those dear men of God who've worked with me on the deacon board here, who've gone on to heaven, the man whose name is on this pulpit here, a dear deacon here in heaven, Leonard Tudor, don't you think, well, when I get to heaven, I'll know Mr. Tudor. I'll see a fellow pitching horseshoes up in heaven. That'll be Harley Dunsworth. And you folks are new here. Harley was a great horseshoe pitcher. I never could pitch horseshoes too much. Racking and somebody pitched horses, but I am. He was a great, and so one day we had a picnic down at Riverside Park. Harley Dunsworth said, preacher, said, pitch me a game of horseshoes. And I said, oh, no, go ahead. He's pitching Ed Rouse some of these inferior pitchers. And he said,
come on, he said, pitch horseshoes.
I said, nope, not going to do it. He said, oh, come on, you're a coward. That did it. So I grabbed the horseshoes and pitched. He had been throwing ringers. I mean, all he'd been throwing was ringers. One of the best horseshoe pitchers I ever saw. And yet I guess he got nervous pitching with a preacher. He couldn't hit the post. And I beat him on a gainer play. He said, 2 out of 3. I said, no, I got an appointment to keep. I can't make 2 out of 3. And,
oh, come on.
I said, no, I got to go.
Oh, 2 out of 3.
I said, no.
He said, coward.
I said, nope, who won? And every time he'd seen it at church, let's pitch a horseshoe game. Got to pitch off at 2 out of 3. And I get to him. He'll be asking me to pitch off 2 out of 3 with him. And I'll recognize him. Oh, listen. Paul said he met his congregation in heaven. God describes death as sleep. Now, follow me. If death is sleep, and if we know each other before we go to sleep, you think we'll be dumber after we wake up? Last night, if you kissed your wife goodnight or and spanked the kids, or you may have kissed the kids and spanked the wife, but you said goodnight. And you woke up this morning and said, who are you?
Why, she said, you know who I am. Last night you kissed me goodnight.
Let's see. Let me see. You're Betty?
No.
Sue?
No.
Don't you think when I, in this frail, weak body, with hands that often are palsied and feet that often are weary, and a mind that's often dull, and a heart that's often cold, and a shoulders that often droop, and brow that often furrows. Don't you think if I can recognize somebody here in that kind of weakened condition, don't you think when I awake in my glorified body, and I look like Jesus looks, and I have a body like this, don't you think I'll be able to recognize folks after I wake up? Well, of course I will. Abraham said, the rich man... By the way, John Evans, it was, a Scottish preacher, was in his study one day. His wife came and she said, honey, do you think that you and I will know each other in heaven? and John Evans said, my dear, do you think we will be bigger fools in heaven even than we are here? I asked Dr. Rice that question one day. Dr. Rice, do you think you'll know each other in heaven? He said, Dr. Rice, do you think I'm going to be dumber there than I am here? I said, I'm not going to answer that question. But... Abraham said to the rich man in hell, son,
remember.
Now, wait a minute. He's talking to a man in hell.
Son, remember.
Here's a man burning in hell.
Remember.
In thy lifetime, you had good things, and Lazarus had bad things.
Remember.
Listen. If you think they have the ability to remember in hell, Don't you think we'll be able to remember up in heaven? Why, of course, I think much of heaven's joy will be around the circle, reliving the days down here, reliving the victories down here. Remember those? I think in heaven we'll have a service like this. And I think that we'll get around the circle and we'll remember. And somebody will say, remember that day on Sunday, January 10, 1982? Remember that? Remember, it's 26 below zero. Remember? Yeah. Oh, do I remember? Yeah. And remember that day, somebody would say, when not a single Ford car showed up at church because none of them could run? Remember that day? And somebody would say, hey, remember that day that Moffitt got all 15 of his buses ran because it kept them running all night long? And remember remember that day? And we'll say, you'll never outlive it. The Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And so I'm not offended in spite of the derelict duty of responsibility. But now I know why David couldn't eat. I shall go to him. Now I know why parents can walk around with a smile after laying the little baby in a grave. I shall go to him. Now I know why widows can keep on going a few more years after their husbands have been taken. I shall go to him. Now I know why children can kiss mother's cold lips and still sing. I shall go to him. Now I know why Mrs. Rice keeps on traveling now that Dr. John is gone.
I shall go to him. Sing it and rejoice in it. That's the capstone. That's what it's all about. I shall go to him, David could say. But you know, while we say farewell down here, they're saying at the same time, welcome up there. You know, while we lower him in the grave, God is hoisting him on a throne at the same time. Did you know while we close his eyes, here Jesus opens them to the glories of heaven at the same time? Did you know why children kiss mother's cold lips and sing? Did you know mother's cold lips are already singing in heaven? Did you know while while we cover his body here, they give him a palm to put in his hand at the same time? You know why we say goodbye, mother? If I said goodbye to my mother today, Hazel and Lorraine would be saying hello, mother, at the same time. And while we say he's gone, they say he's home. A soldier boy lay dying. And as he was dying on the battlefield, he kept saying, here, sir! Here, sir! Here, sir! Here, sir! And somebody came to him, and they tried to minister to him, but it was too late. He was almost dead. And he said, here, sir! Here, sir! Here, sir! Here, sir! Here, sir! And somebody walked up and said, what are you saying, young man? He looked up with a fainting smile and said, I'm just answering heaven's roll call. Here, sir! Here, sir! Here, sir! I've seen a few folks die. I remember that dear, sweet, old saint of God who gathered us around an old-fashioned country farmhouse room, had the old hallway down the center and a pump on a well in the open hallway, and no doors, just open hallway. And the first room on the left, that old farmhouse, she was lying there, and she sang in a clear voice, I'm longing for the coming of the Snow White Angel Band. And she said, Brother Hiles, would you hold my hand, please, while I go home? And I held her hand, and we joined us hands and made a circle around the room and holding hands. And she led us in a clear soprano voice singing before she died, I'm longing for the coming of the Snow White Angel Band. Or could I forget that dear saint down in Henderson, Texas, who said, Pastor, she said, would you read the 91st Psalm to me? And I read the 91st Psalm. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And on, I will say, the Lord is my refuge and joy. Amen. Amen. Her eyes with a sweet smile. And I forget that dear man who died in East Texas and looked over as he died and said to me, that's my wife. I can see my wife. She went before me. I can see my wife. And I forget the good man whose name is right here, who up in St. Margaret's Hospital, the nurse came and said, Mr. Tudor, you're dying. You better call a priest. And that dear saint said, I am a priest. And she said, oh, I didn't know you were a holy father. He said, I'm not a holy father. I'm a priest of God. Now, he said, if you want to call my pastor and have him rejoice with me while I go to heaven, that's all right. But you have to call anybody to absolve my sins. That was taken care of by Jesus 2,000 years ago. Oh, listen to me. Listen to me. Listen. Take courage. Take hope. On this cold, wintry day, say, there's a land that is fairer than day. On this old, cold, wintry day when the crowd is down and we have not much to rejoice about, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that fair land where we'll never, never shall die. Rejoice in the little statement that David made when he heard them whispering. Now for a long time, no food had gone to his lips. For a long time, he had worn the same clothes. For a long time, his face had been toward the floor. For a long time, he wouldn't get off his face. For a long time, he wouldn't answer anybody's questions. And he hears, and David looks up and sees the servants talking. Hears them, his hears their kisses. And David said, he's dead, isn't he? And they said, yes. And David stands up straight, washes himself, puts on some clean clothes, goes to the table, sits down, eats a good meal. How can you do it, David? He throws his shoulders back and he says, I'm not what I ought to be. And I've done some wrong in my day. But he said, there's one thing I know. I shall go
to him.
Ah, oh, but you say, bah, humbug, pie in the sky, sheer fantasy, fundamentalist folly. I just don't believe it.
But don't you wish you could? Our Heavenly Father.